Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first episode of Block Talk, where we're going to talk about everything related to blockchain and Azure all up. My name is Ziad Rajabi. I'm a program manager on the blockchain team.
And I'm Cody Bourne. I'm a software engineer on the Azure blockchain team.
All right. In this episode, we're going to give you guys a very high-level review of Azure blockchain. We're going to cover an introduction to blockchain. Again, we're not going to go into the technical details of blockchain. If you guys are interested in understanding the technical aspects of how blockchain works all up, let us know in the comments. We will definitely dedicate at least an episode on that if you're interested. What we want to do is give you guys an understanding of what blockchain is, where it's applicable in the enterprise scenarios, and then lastly, cover what are we doing in the Azure blockchain space all up.
So let's take a look at what blockchain is and how it's different from a traditional system. So in a traditional system, you have a single operator of a full application stack. So from the front end all the way down to the database. And now this works really well for most applications, but there are some applications that require multiple parties. And in that case, you have you need a single operator of this database, and that requires you to trust that single operator. And this will kind of break down when you have multiple parties that don't necessarily trust each other. This kind of role of that central operator is important and will often be delegated out to a third party for some fee, and that also introduces some inefficiencies in the process. So with a blockchain system, each member on the network has equal ownership of this database. And has the ability to have full transparency into what's going on and provide guarantees around the validation of the transactions that are going into this database. So we see this really important in certain industries that are maybe more inefficient or have some additional expense because they're having to hire this trusted third party. So let's look into how a blockchain works underneath. So with a blockchain, you have multiple nodes that are each run by different parties within this multi-party system. Now, each of these nodes is constantly talking to the other nodes and provides a shared state that each of the nodes has. That shared state is something that we call a ledger. And the important thing about this shared state is that each of the nodes validates the transactions that go into this to make sure that they are valid according to its own rules. So there's no like top-down leadership or some kind of like central authority on this network. Each node is responsible for maintaining their own set of data and their own validation rules. So it could be that one of these nodes goes rogue and starts submitting invalid transactions, but all the other nodes will essentially ignore those transactions or that state update. So this is really nice because it provides some rules that ensure that no one is going in and deleting some information or modifying some information after the fact that doesn't follow some shared rules. So an example of this is immutability in transactions. So being able to ensure that a transaction once it's present can never be changed is a really important factor of blockchain.
Cool, thanks Cody. So let's talk about sort of where do we see blockchain all up. Now, I'll be the first one to admit there's a ton of hype related to blockchain. And I think the reason why there's a lot of hype is, again, when you were talking about the different capabilities of blockchain, the promise of getting rid of intermediaries and the ability to share data all up, I think people get really fascinated and interested about that. But what happens is I don't think the scenarios where blockchain is applicable is not really every single scenario. I think people mistake blockchain as this magic hammer that can work everywhere and can fix any kind of problem.
That's right.
And just like a hammer can't fix every problem in the house, you should not use blockchain all up for all problems. I think there's some fundamental questions you want to answer before you even figure out what scenarios make the most sense. Do you have a particular checklist in mind where you think blockchain makes sense?
Yes, I think
versus not.
To your point that right now, because it's such a new technology, everyone's trying to figure out, you know, what are the nails now that they have this hammer. And so it's important to not discourage customers from exploring that, but you also want to make sure that, you know, they're not applying this technology in the wrong way. So typically when we'll talk to customers, we'll ask them, you know, do you have any kind of intermediary that is kind of like in your process that you'd be able to have a more efficiency without this intermediary? Or do you not have an intermediary and you would really like to use an intermediary, but right now it's too expensive in order to have someone fill that role. So it's really about disintermediation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in addition to that, I would think it's also about the ability not only to disintermediate, but the ability to basically cross those trust boundaries.
That's right.
And the ability to share data or information across those trust boundaries without the need of some central authority or without the need of having to deal with reconciliation. So if you and I don't trust each other and we all have our own data sets, we need a way to figure out who's right and who has the right set of data.
Yeah, so one example of this is that we're actually working with the Xbox team coming up with something that we call Xbox Royalties, which is a royalty system built on blockchain. And so this is where Xbox is providing payments out to all of the developers, and they're using blockchain to provide this transparent view of the world. And the nice thing about this is that, you know, it's a real-time state where they can go and see what their current balance is. And this allows them to properly estimate at the end of the day how much assets they actually own. And they can make, you know, proper risk analysis accordingly.
Right. Well, let's talk about a couple of scenarios here, I think, related. And we'll give you guys some real-world examples here. This list that we're showing here is not an exhaustive list of all the different scenarios out there. We certainly want to deep dive into the scenarios where we're working with customers directly. And again, if you're interested in any particular scenarios that you've heard us working with customers, let us know. We can do a session dedicated to that particular scenario. But let me give you guys examples of where we are working with certain customers. So, for example, one is with Maersk. Maersk is, as you know, is a shipment company that ship goods from port A to port B. And so we worked with them as well as insurance companies to build a real-time risk assessment system built on top of blockchain for insurance rates. So whenever the boat shipping the goods travels to certain waters or the weather conditions changes, in real time you can adjust the insurance rates related to the goods being shipped. That's one particular example. Working with several other examples related to manufacturing and supply chains. So in supply chain, this is a good example where they don't have an intermediary. And the reason they don't have one is because the cost of hiring or creating an intermediary to track all the different steps along a supply chain would just be too costly for the supply chain, and in the end would cost consumers more money because we would have to pay the price for that particular tracking. So we're working with several different customers related to provenance and supply chain tracking, for example, from farm to table kind of scenarios. We're working with several companies around loyalty points and loyalty tracking across different industries and different organizations. One other thing that I think is interesting from a blockchain perspective is I think people concentrate on blockchain being very, very specific to financial scenarios. And it goes far beyond just financials. And you think about it from what's applicable from the financial industry. Yeah, we've seen things in trade finance and with payments and with those types of scenarios and even bank guarantees. But it goes far beyond that. And other examples that we've seen are things where governments are using it for tracking of digital assets like land and car registrations. And that helps deal with some of the fraud related to ownership of those goods. So, again, that was a very high-level overview of some of the scenarios. We are more than happy to dive into the details of some of those scenarios. Just let us know which ones you're interested in. So, when you look at blockchain, the first question you ask is, you know, why isn't it being broadly used across the board? And the truth of the matter is, it's hard. Blockchain is hard to develop on top of. And the analogy I like to use, and I think I've told you this before, is like, hello world on blockchain, that's hard. Hello world and connect that to an existing system like a Dynamics, SAP, Salesforce, or Office 365. Good luck. That's very, very difficult. And the reason why you see a picture of an island there is the analogy I like to give people is it's like me throwing you onto an island, just the blockchain island. And if you want to just live on the blockchain island and just do blockchain stuff, you're all good. But in reality, when you're building these enterprise applications, you need that island to be connected to things that you care about. whether it's Office or whether it's integration into existing systems, where you may even have a process where you're sending an email with a PDF attachment, and that's part of your transaction, and you want to connect that and have that transaction be pushed onto the blockchain. That's not very easy to go do. And so our whole strategy in Microsoft is really related to getting you off that island, getting that island be able to connect to everything that you care about, make it very easy for you to develop on top of that, and building those bridges. And whether that is related to how you create your business logic, how you build up the integration patterns, or how you even deal with some of the ledgers. I think there's several different aspects, and we're gonna cover in many of these episodes how we're tackling a lot of those things and how we're building those bridges and how you can leverage those bridges in your solutions.
So let's take a look at everything that we're doing within Microsoft and blockchain. So within Azure, we've set up a variety of different ledger technologies that you can deploy straight out of the marketplace. We make it really easy to deploy the first member on the network and also to join existing networks. So the different ledger technologies that we support are Ethereum, Hyperledger Fabric, Corda, and Quorum. So you really have your pick of which ledger technology you want. We want to make it really easy to switch between these different technologies.
But I think also the nice thing about it is it's a marketplace. So if you are a publisher out there and you want to publish your own ledger networks or your own implementation of it, it's an open marketplace. So you can easily go do that and add that to the marketplace so anybody can go and use it. Think of it as like an app store.
Yeah. And we have worked with a lot of third-party customers in order to get their solutions out there in the marketplace. So this is a really good opportunity to reach your market. So the second thing that we've built is an abstraction on top of blockchain. So we often hear, hey, I've set up this blockchain network, but now I don't really know what to do with it. How do I start building my blockchain applications? So we've built a tool called Blockchain Workbench that is really setting up all the scaffolding that you would need. And we've developed the scaffolding with working with hundreds of different customers over the past couple of years and figured out this is the right kind of pattern that you can apply towards blockchain. Mm-hmm. So some of the difficult things are key management. How do I handle these blockchain keys and make sure that my employees are keeping it secure? We wrap all of the smart contracts in an authenticated API, so you can make very simple REST requests to each one, mm-hmm. and we handle all of the authentication for you. We also have a lot of enterprise integration into existing systems that you would normally expect within Azure. And we have a ton of examples and samples online on how to build these things.
And we're going to give you guys several episodes dedicated to Workbench, from all the way from the high-level overview all the way to the details of how the systems work.
That's right, yeah. And another effort within Microsoft is within Microsoft Research, we're building out a formal verification system of smart contracts. So this is really cool because smart contracts have historically been kind of like a very weak point in a lot of systems because it typically handles a lot of assets, mm-hmm. Or very like high risk compute. And it's important that these smart contracts are written bug-free from day one, because these once you publish it, it's immutable. You can't go back and edit it. So we've built this formal verification tool that allows you to formally prove that your smart contract is to spec. Make sure that you've flushed out all of the bugs before you deploy it. And another effort is decentralized identity. So today, a lot of identity systems, they are the owner of your identity. They have all of your data. As we've seen recently, this has been a big problem where people are responsible for this data and they don't necessarily manage it like the way that we'd want them to. So decentralized identity is all about putting that data in the hands of the consumer and giving them the ability to selectively show different parts of their identity to different third parties, and being able to take that identity away if they see that it's being used improperly. And finally, one of the other efforts within Azure is confidential computing. So this is something like hardware enclaves as a service. You can run some amount of some computation or handle some data without even having the ability to peek and see what's going on under the scenes, what kind of computations being ran, or what kind of private sensitive data is being computed on. So this is cool because it provides a nice augmentation to a blockchain, and it handles a lot of the confidentiality and the efficiencies that have been traditionally lacking in the blockchain space. So we see that these two things have worked together really well.
Cool. I think, yeah, in the next several episodes, we're going to go into a deep dive into several of these different things, plus very technical details on specific things, like, for example, use of one of our APIs, for example. That being said, thanks so much for watching our episode one. Any feedback is much appreciated. Please leave your comments. In the meanwhile, you can follow us on different ways.
Yeah, so we have a Twitter channel, MSFT Blockchain. You can also subscribe to this on YouTube or on Channel 9.
Cool. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.